Welcome back.
Welcome back to Dom and Alec, Pleasantly Inarticulate.
Woohoo! I have missed this. Oh, God.
Me too.
Alec, we've had some... The best year of our lives.
It was the best of times.
It was the worst of times. Oh, the stories we've gone through today alone. Life's been great. I miss it. I love it. Because you're in Rochester. I'm moving to the city. We're together now, clearly.
For those of you who don't know, and you probably don't, because we have been MIA for an entire year, Dom and I are no longer living together. I'm here in Rochester, and Dom has moved on to the big city, the Big Apple, the apple of Dom's eye, NYC. So this is the first time we've seen each other in a couple of weeks.
It's pretty epic where you've been doing some crazy things.
Not too crazy, but...
We went to a Little League baseball tournament. I mean, that's pretty crazy.
It's pretty crazy going to Little League. It was a really nice little venue they had there. Mm-hmm. Batavia, New York.
The Muck Dogs Stadium.
Muck Dogs. If you've seen the movie Fever Pitch, which was a really shitty movie.
Summer Catch.
Not Fever Pitch. not to confuse those two movies, but Summer Catch, Freddie Prinze Jr., about Cape Cod.
He's not from Fresh Prince, is he?
No, he is not from, he was in the Scooby-Doo movie, though.
Okay, well, he was Shaggy.
No, he played Freddie.
What's his name is Freddie?
Whoa.
That never happens.
Well, whoa.
In any film, ever.
Sometimes it happens.
No, name another time it happened.
I mean, I can't name it right now, exactly. But I can guarantee it happened.
I will send a signed silk t-shirt to the first listener to comment a movie, without Googling it, that has used an actor with the same name as the main character.
Dom and Alec Challenge!
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm calling you out, Caitlin and Megan.
Mm-hmm. No Googling.
And Isabel's dad.
We know you listen to us in your car.
And all the people from Japan.
We do. We have a big base in Japan. Germany's been spiking.
Germany has been spiking.
Still not up to Japan. Alec and I are going to Japan.
Dom and I are going to Japan.
Oh, I cannot wait.
We are super excited. Next semester, we are studying abroad in London.
You'll get many more podcasts, one from every country.
Of course. We plan on traveling a lot, but when we come home, our plan is to, instead of flying east, we are going, no, instead of flying west, we are going to be flying east. First, we're going to stop in Japan.
A whole week
in Japan.
What are we going to do in Japan?
Whatever we feel like.
Japanese game show.
Then, after that, we'll fly to Hawaii, layover in the Philippines.
Four nights. In Hawaii.
Then we're going to fly home to the States, and we are considering taking a train cross-country back to New York.
Seeing the entire world, mostly via window, but still into it.
Yeah. I mean, you got to see it from somewhere, whether it's a window or...
Or YouTube.
Or you're YouTube. Gonna whether see it somewhere. One of the two options, window or YouTube.
Yeah.
Best choices, of course.
No, I definitely have been... I can't say... Listeners are not going to like this sentence.
Okay.
I've been bit by the travel bug.
Mm.
I'm not saying because I've traveled, because typically the travel bug is like, oh, I traveled and now I'm... typically person that goes to London and comes back and shares that BuzzFeed article, 27 things you'll miss when you're not in London, right?
Yeah.
That's not me. That's stupid. Mm-hmm. That's, we know those people.
Mm-hmm.
Our spring breaks are pretty epic.
We had a great spring break this year. Let us tell you this.
It's pretty awesome.
We decided, this semester, that instead of picking a destination to go for our spring break, we would have no plans at
zero.
All.
Zero plans. We put a compass on the dashboard. That's how few plans we had, and just drove south.
We just decided we were going to drive south. Whichever road pointed said had a little S next to the yep. sign. We said, we'll take that one. It took us a long way to travel down south, but after 2 days of traveling, we eventually ended up outside of Charleston, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, beautiful weather.
Oh, so nice.
Ooh.
Sundresses and, like, restaurants. Ooh. And, oh, it was just so nice.
We ended up in a place, not ended up, we were actually living in a campground.
Yep.
In...
What was it called? First one was Honey Hill.
No, we were at Huntington Beach State Park.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking... Yeah.
Honey Hill was in this larger forest, National Forest.
That was in, yeah, the National Forest.
I don't remember what it was called.
It doesn't... I mean...
But it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. You can trust us.
Email us if you... We'll
look it up for you.
But if you want to know, yeah. It's a great state park. It's literally half of South Carolina is a state park, and it's the one we stayed in.
But just
Beaver
north...
Beaver Lake?
No. Just north of Charleston was this tiny little place called Isle of Palms.
That and place has my heart forever.
It is as beautiful as it sounds.
There's this amazing moment that Alec and I know he won't, and I know I won't ever forget.
I will never forget, never forget.
Here we are in Alec's car. We're tired. We're looking for a place to go. We just got conned out of $40 of firewood. Longer story, not for podcasts. But we're driving over. We're like, let's go to a beach today. And we see a sign that says Isle of Palms. And we're like, that sounds pretty majestic.
Pretty damn majestic, let us tell you.
So we take a left. We're driving south to take a left that leads us to the ocean. And we hit a bridge.
Real, real steep bridge. You can't see what is in front of you besides the pavement.
All you know is you're going over a lagoon. It's kind of a lagoon, more a marsh.
Kind of this sandy, swampy kind of mix. And you're driving up and you can kind of feel the gravity pushing against your car. And you reach the very top.
And the only thing you can see in front of you is an amazing ocean front of beautiful white-capped waves slowly rolling in. And you don't know what Isle of Palms truly is until you get a little bit further.
And we're slowly breaking down this bridge, and we kind of get into the center of Isle of Palms.
Mm.
Beautiful, beautiful little red-roofed shops. People walking around the sidewalk. Music playing.
Beautiful music.
The sun was shining. Everyone was kind to each other. This was literally the perfection of humanity.
We found it.
We found Shangri-La.
We found Shangri-La.
And it was beautiful.
If you ever are in South Carolina, I suggest that you take the detour to Isle of Palms. And I hope you take the moment to appreciate that bridge. We literally sat in majesty at that bridge. It was a wonderful experience. I just don't know if that... It's almost foreign to me that things that wonderful can exist.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we only had that opportunity because we were willing to take the risk and, you know, kind
of... It takes a lot from our personalities to take that sort of risk.
Travel, but do the road less traveled.
Well, I mean, to sum up the trip, it was A, as you just said, the road less traveled, but also 38 national highways, 8 states, 6 beds total, and one wonderful time. That'll stick with me for the rest of my life.
I will never forget that trip. Never ever.
We learned a lot.
We did, indeed.
It was great.
It was a great trip, indeed.
So, Alec, I think what we're going to do here is we're going to toss it over to a quick break, and then we're going to come back with force.
With force. Hang in there, folks. We'll be right back. Ooh, I think we came in with some force there, Dom.
I think we did too. Good choice of song, you know?
Oh, Well, this is rather new. I don't know if we ever talked about this in our old
probably not
podcast. Series one. That was series one of Domino.
We're starting series two.
This is series two.
Phase two.
This is phase two. Is this a reboot?
No.
Not a reboot.
Same characters. We're not recast. We're the same guys.
But we've been changed by our phase one experiences.
Yeah, this past year. I could go
well, this past year, Dom and I have grown very, very fond of superheroes.
That we have. I've become a professor.
He has become a professor.
I don't get paid, but I'm a professor. Alec has had a huge part in instilling this love of superheroes into my life. And we disagree. We've never argued in our lives until we became superhero fans.
Oh, and do we argue?
And I love it. I love every bit of it. I just want to call him. When I think of something provocative that has to do with superheroes, I want to call Alec and ask him, like, hey, what do you think about Aquaman in a natural disaster? And then get yelled at by Alec, who hates Aquaman.
I don't hate Aquaman.
Well, is this a discussion we're about to have?
I don't know. We've had this conversation.
I'm not going to. Wait, we have a super secret script idea that we're not going to pitch to you, but if you're interested, you can invest.
Maybe Snapchat us. Maybe email us.
Snapchat at Dom Recchio. Snapchat
at Dom at Alec Belmore. Snapchat.
So, but no, if you are interested in not Captain America, he's a whole other story. Whew. If you're interested in the Aquaman script, let us know. We have a Alec mostly. Well, I laid a little bit of a foundation,
a little bit of groundwork.
It grew on you all day today. I watched it grow on you.
You know, I still don't love Aquaman as
well, tomorrow you're going to buy an Aquaman comic
because,
and your
because
be
for your sake I am willing to invest my time and money to explore Aquaman for your sake.
Oh my goodness.
Tomorrow
is that too much to ask?
No, it's not too much to ask. I'd do anything for you.
I'd do anything for you.
But I am going to, tomorrow, I'm going to buy an Aquaman and the Others number one comic.
I'm going to give X-Men a chance tomorrow.
Because I'm a big X-Men fan, and Dom cannot appreciate the X-Men.
For a literal plethora. Fucking plethora.
Although the two reasons you have given me today were that Wolverine does not wear a cool enough costume. Or rather, no one in the X-Men wears spandex
on a
regular basis, so they're not quote-unquote superheroes.
Give me spandex or give me death, and goddammit, can you please give Superman some goddamn underwear? Please.
For those of you folks that don't know, in the newest incarnation of Superman, the Man of Steel, directed by Zack Snyder, Superman, played by Henry Cavill, does not wear underwear.
Outside.
In the original Superman, you have the blue suit with the red underwear. But this newest incarnation lacks the underwear.
And it has too much bulge. It's like, I'm not watching Mad Men. I don't need excessive bulge.
Where in Mad Men has there been excessive bulge?
Jon Hamm is known for his bulge.
That is true. I will give you that.
Right? So I'm not watching Mad Men. I'm watching Superman. Super Mad Man. If you want to do a crossover.
Super Bulge Man.
Super Bulge Man. That would be a great comic.
No, it was not. No, I don't want that. What's he do? What's his superpower?
You don't even want to know.
I don't think I do.
That's a superhero I'd be interested in being. Like, Nicolas Cage wanted to be Superman so bad. He tried to get casted so bad for Superman Returns, and he ended up getting Ghost Rider because people were like, we'll throw you this other one.
Yeah, well, Ghost Rider was...
That's not the point.
No, but
the point is I would want to be Super Bulge Man like Nicolas Cage wanted to be Superman.
You know,
and then I'd end up being Ghost Rider.
Fun fact about Nicolas Cage.
I like him.
Okay, whatever. Nicolas Cage is a big, big, big comic book fan.
Yeah.
And he spent a lot of his fortune on comic books.
Mm-hmm. And a castle.
And he had to sell his comic books because he was not making enough money to you know, support his lifestyle, so he sold his comic books.
Kind of crazy. but it also calls for an American National Treasure 3.
No.
His fortune would be... Imagine if he found gold. His fortune would be great.
Are you talking about actual Nicolas Cage, actual looking for treasure?
In the movies. If he cashed out on that, versus being all like, oh, let's give it to a museum, he wouldn't even have had the problem where he'd have to sell his comic books.
I mean, he was pretty wealthy. If you look at the transfer between National Treasure 1 and National Treasure 2, look at their fucking house. Him and his ex-wife from National Treasure 1 and National Treasure 2. Pretty good house they had going on there.
Okay, I'm going to throw a real quick, kind of crazy question at you. What would you rather see? 6 villains in the possible Sinister Six, or more Kate Mara side boob in Fantastic Four reboot?
Was Kate Mara cast?
Mm-hmm. She's Invisible Woman.
She is Kate Mara.
Mm-hmm.
Was cast as Invisible Woman.
She was.
So the question is, do I want more Sinister Six or do I want more side boob?
Tasteful side boob.
Tasteful side
boob. American Hustle style side boob.
I mean, I feel like this... I mean, Sinister Six, great, great collection of supervillains. Yeah. And, you know, I am a big Spider-Man fan.
I know.
And I grew up on Spider-Man. He was my superhero growing up, and the Sinister Six were kind of that, like, the big supervillain group. Yeah. But I do like Kate Mara, and I do like tasteful side boob.
I think, given
the relative success of Amazing Spider-Man 2, which I will have a soft spot for since I worked on it.
Assistant producer over here.
Not assistant producer. Production assistant.
APPA.
APPA, same thing. Whatever. I am going to have to say I would rather have tasteful Kate Mara side boob.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, I would too. Well, if our fans clamor for more superhero, we'll give you all you want. We've spent 8 hours...
Just today, talking about superheroes.
But I guess I will leave a caveat with you. It's not necessarily about the mask or the man behind the mask or the woman behind the mask, for that matter. It is about justice. And I feel like we've grown as people to understand the justice. And I feel as though our time becoming comic fans... superhero fans, more so, and our times more involved in the world of social justice and things have coincided at an almost epically beautiful coincidence.
I agree.
This is the first time this starts dawning on me.
As our appreciation for superheroes and what they stand for has grown, also has our appreciation for our everyday heroes, the ones that fight for social justice, has also grown.
And it's certainly inadvertently, not very consciously, but I appreciate those everyday heroes. So you know what? We do shout-outs to people we like. Let's do a shout-out to the everyday heroes.
To the everyday hero. We support you.
We support
everyday
you.
Everyday heroes.
We support everyday heroes.
And I think with that, everyday heroes... we're going to take a break. You stay thirsty for justice, and we'll be here. Hang in there. Hello, and welcome back
to Dom and Alec.
Pleasantly inarticulate.
It's been a good podcast so far.
I'd like to think so. I think we've been doing a pretty good job so far.
I think so, too.
So, in the break, Dom and I were just discussing what it takes to, you know, produce a show of, you know...
television.
A television show of such quality, such as Arrow, which is one of our favorite shows at the moment.
I take back that that's my favorite. Chuck, then Arrow. But go ahead.
No,
I
just had to clear that one, up. One of our favorite,
yeah,
favorite shows. Not our, our favorite.
It's good.
And we were just discussing how speculative the entire industry is.
It is. And I, as sort of the businessman in this conversation, I feel like very few markets are as speculative as the television market.
I mean,
the upsides are huge.
I wouldn't totally agree with that, given the fact that the stock market is completely speculative.
Forget the stock market. I'm talking consumer goods, okay, including television. Did you know that Walmart makes a 1% profit margin out of everything they say so?
1%?
Yeah.
So, off every dollar, they make a penny.
Yep.
But imagine how much exactly they sell.
Scale. Scale is the key to speculation. Not speculation. Scale is the key to low profit margins. And you'll get by with that, but then you'll end up like Walmart, a giant tirade of messy corporatism.
You know, I was in the car with a friend the other day, and we drove past a 7-Eleven, which for Western New York is very rare. There are very few.
I have an interesting story about
that. There are very few 7-Elevens. And I was saying that if you want a product to sell, you put it in 7-Eleven.
You do.
Because their network of stores is so expansive. And she was so surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Because in our little area, there are so few 7-Elevens. Mm-hmm. But given the rest of the country, there's so many.
So many. 7-Eleven is the key. It's...
Talk about profit margins.
Yeah. Well, 7-Elevens are interesting. Some of them sell gas. They make a lot of money off that weird beef jerky you're not sure if made out of the raccoon you hit last night.
Or that burrito. Oh, God.
Oh, God. My dad almost got murdered by a meat cleaver in the back parking lot of a 7-Eleven once.
Do tell.
Okay, so we're in Florida. Deerfield Beach. If you're ever in Florida, go to Deerfield Beach. Fairly serene, nice place. So we're driving around, and of course, my dad wants beef jerky.
Who doesn't?
From the 7-Eleven.
Gotta have
it. It's literally in a little bag in a, like, I mean, like one of those, like heating ovens. Like a
Ziploc bag?
No, like a Burger King fries bag.
Okay, all right.
And it's just greasy.
I can dig that.
Yeah, I dig it. I mean, I had some. So here we are, parked in the back lot. What does my dad do? He's a mechanic. He always complains about me not driving like a champ. Thanks for that cop today. Let's get to that later.
Yeah, later, of course.
So we're talking to, I'm talking to my brother, waiting in the car. My dad goes in to get the beef jerky and a Slurpee. And he comes out, gets in the car, like an idiot, so focused on his beef jerky, this is something I would do, backs into another car.
Oof.
Whose car is that? The guy working at the butcher shop next to the 7-Eleven. So a 5'3", 270-pound Mexican man with a scary-looking goatee, like a really, like, carved goatee where everything's sharp, comes out with a bloody apron and a meat cleaver.
With the meat cleaver.
With the meat cleaver in his hand. And guess who else comes out? Every crony that you could ever fit into a butcher shop comes out. It's like, I felt like a mob meeting was happening in there. They all come out. They're like, hey, man, what you do to my car? And my dad's like, I backed into it. I have $20 to give you or the insurance stuff. And they're like, you know, they're all worried about it. More so like turf war kind of deal. Like, well, you parking in the back lot. Like, this is not, this is our spot. Like,
and your dad just wanted beef jerky.
My dad just wanted beef jerky. So my dad is bad in these situations, just in terms of, like, doesn't have a clue what's going on. And anyways, I'm sitting in the car. My brother's crying.
Oh.
My brother cries. He cried when I got shot at.
Shout out to Zach.
Shout out to Zach.
Crying brother.
Crying brother. So Yeah, I feel like most of my stories start out with my brother cried.
That's okay.
He's a good guy. But anyways.
Crying doesn't make you any less of a man, Zach.
That's true. We were scared for my dad's life, and the next thing we know, he comes back in the car having given them all $20.
So he got away with $20 and not given them his insurance.
And he got to keep the beef jerky. They didn't even ask for it back, which is cool. About that.
That's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win-win-win.
$20 for that story and beef jerky?
Yeah, that story. I'd pay $20 for a story of equal weight.
I'd pay $30. I'd pay $40 for that.
I would. I dropped a 50 spot last night, so hell, I'd drop a 50 on that.
I'm sure you would.
Yeah, I'd drop a 50 on whatever. It was fun.
I'm sure.
Anyways, that cop was a good guy today.
Today, I don't know if we've previously mentioned this, but Dom and I went to a charity baseball tournament in Batavia, New York, which is about 45 minutes from where I live. And on our way home, Dom and I were chatting. We got a little bit too involved.
Very, very much so.
And Dom was going a little bit too fast on the throughway.
Closer to the three digits than I would have liked to have been.
Closer to the three digits than he would have liked. So, we pass this cop, doesn't follow, we keep chatting, and then all of a sudden Dom looks in his back mirror, and he's like, oh man, the cop's got me.
He's got me.
And I look back, and the cop's got his lights on, I'm like, oh man. Because this was a flashback, because on our trip to... South Carolina.
I'll never think of Dave Matthews Band in the same way.
I got pulled over in Virginia for driving too fast. 80 and a 70 whilst Dave Matthews was playing. So 80 and a 70, 10 miles over the speed limit.
We're jamming.
Dom, as the cop told us, was going 18 miles over the speed limit.
I was flying.
And he pulls us over.
I have a lead foot.
Dom does have a lead foot. I mean, you're a big man. Gotta have a lead foot. So he pulls us over. He comes up to the window. He asks for Dom's license. And Dom gives him his license. And he says, anything wrong with your license? And Dom goes, no tickets, no nothing. And he's like, all right, be safe. And we got away with going almost 20 miles over the speed limit, and the cop was totally cool. Now, we don't condone
speeding.
Reckless driving or speeding.
No.
We were wrong.
That's the first thing I said. I'm glad he pulled me over, because I was not paying attention.
Yes.
I was not paying attention.
We were too distracted by our conversation. Mm-hmm. As good as that conversation may have been, and trust us, it was a good conversation.
Goddamn good conversation.
But... you know, this may be the way that the law should operate.
Yeah, I'm into
because,
that thought.
Dom, were you endangering anyone's life given the amount of traffic on the thruway?
No, I was not. And had there been more traffic, I would have not been in the intense conversation with you that I was. So it was a product of circumstance, and I would have totally taken that ticket. When he pulled me over, I'm like, yeah, this is. I was speeding. As I'm slowing down, I'm going 80. I'm like, crap.
So the question becomes, is justice circumstantial?
This is new. This is a conversation we haven't had.
No.
Is justice circumstantial? Give me a play-by-play of an example. Maybe.
I mean, think about it this way. We can break down your traffic violation as this. You are doing 83 and a 65. But there is no cars on the road, like we were driving recently. You're not endangering anyone
except all.
It's relative. There are no cars. There's no chance of you hitting anything or endangering any other cars on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Compare it to 5:30 in the evening, rush hour. You're trying to go 83, and there are dozens and hundreds of cars on this thruway. Are you endangering someone?
Yes.
Yes, you are. So, given the law states you cannot go past 65 on this road. compare the two situations. Is justice circumstantial? Would your ticket going 83 in a 65 when there are no cars on the road, would that be the same as if you were going 83 in a 65 when there are hundreds of cars on the road?
In this situation, Alec, justice is circumstantial. Now let's talk about, can we bring in a more serious
example? We can. Please do, if you will.
I'm not sure I have one.
Oh, well, if you don't have one, maybe let's throw it to a break, and maybe when you come back,
let's throw it to a break.
We can have a more serious. Okay. Hang in there, folks. Welcome back to Dom and Alec.
Pleasantly
inarticulate. So we were just talking about whether justice is circumstantial or not.
And believe me, I'm weary of this conversation a little bit. And I'm sure we all should be, because this is not an end-all be-all. This is us on a very basic level, sort of, in the grand scheme of things, exploring the ideal. So go for it.
But let's and just to play devil's advocate here, let's assume, let's break down a sentence. Let's deal with sentence structure.
Sentence
here.
Structure and justice. Okay, I'd be
let's
out
have. I'll give myself as an example. Here's a sentence: Alec kills a man. That's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, that is wrong. That is injustice, not justice. But let's expand the sentence by one phrase. Alec kills a man to save five people. Is that justice?
What's the man that you're killing's place? Is he complacent? Is this the trolley? Or is he the bad guy?
So does it matter?
Well, that's a wonderful question.
That is.
Well, we don't have to introduce the whole trolley. Google it. Google trolley problem.
Google, yeah. Viewers, listeners, Google the trolley problem.
But no. Okay. Alec, that is wonderful. I have not studied. Studied isn't the right word. I have discussed the trolley problem with 50 people this semester.
Mm-hmm.
Easily. I taught a class. And the opening day of that class, I invited the class to decide whether they'd pull that lever. I'm going to explain the trolley problem real quick. So,
mm-hmm.
A trolley's coming down the tracks, a train, if you will, and there's two ways the trolley could go. It's destined to go to kill five people who are innocent on the tracks and don't know it's coming. They're working on the tracks. But you have the power to pull the switch and possibly kill one person instead of those five people, but you're hand will be in the killing of that one person. And yeah, you may need to rewind and listening to that again. I went through it fast, but for the sake of the podcast, the important part we're getting at is whether it matters or not if they're a villain. What is the act of killing in terms of justice? And more so, backing up to your Alec kills one person to save five people, two people for that matter, if you want to be a utilitarian at heart,
mm-hmm.
Is this indicative of the fact that justice is circumstantial?
I think it might be. I think justice has to be circumstantial.
Is it inherent? Are they mutually exclusive?
I think people are inherently
unjust.
Unjust.
And
if you look at this, people are unwilling. Let's say this is the trolley problem.
Okay.
You know that if you don't flip the switch, and like even if you weren't there, imagine you weren't there, those five people are going to die. You can't do anything about that.
Yeah.
But if you flip the switch, you are literally murdering someone. You have blood on your hands.
Okay.
By flipping that switch.
That's true. I'm actually firmly.
And because of our moral constructs and the way we are built, we don't want that blood on our hands. And we are more willing. We believe that we will be able to sleep at night more easily by not flipping that switch.
My class.
By allowing that five people to die.
You're right. My class would almost every time not flip the switch.
I would flip the switch.
I hope. I can't say because justice is circumstantial, as we've said.
As we have just discussed.
And it kind of just dawned on me for serious, but, like, I hope that I would flick the switch. I hope that I would.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very idealist person. I'm a futurist.
Mm-hmm.
I am an idealist at heart, and I hope I would flip that switch. And I hope I would take the most amount of lives into account.
I would also hope, but it's not easy.
Okay.
It's not easy.
So, I'll throw this at you.
Okay.
The train is going to kill the Sinister Six. And you would flip the switch and make it kill Spider-Man instead. Alec?
Justice is circumstantial.
That's my whole point with this. Right?
Justice is
circumstantial. What do you do?
I don't flip the switch.
You don't flick the switch. But what if...
Let's extend this metaphor. Because allowing the Sinister Six to exist whilst killing Spider-Man would allow more people to die.
So should Batman kill the Joker?
Yes. He should.
I went through a whole semester telling my class of students that I believe he shouldn't.
I'm not sure if I agree with you.
If Batman kills the Joker...
He saves lives.
No. Well, yes. This is way too involved. We'll back off from this part.
Okay,
for
let's
a second.
Let's cool it with the superhero stuff.
Yeah,
maybe a little bit.
We have to. If you demand more of that, I can give you that all day.
We can give it to you. Clearly,
we have it to give.
We got it. We can give you it. Do you want it? We can give it to you. Do you want it?
DominAlec@gmail.com. But, no. Let's go back to the justice circumstantial. 5 villains die, or 1 good guy dies. 5 arsonists die, or you pull the switch and kill a firefighter. That's different. What do you do?
Well, let's think about... bring it to... I know you love the Nolan films. Think about the...
We just said we'd back away from superheroes, Alex.
Well, this is the same thing. We're on the same
thing.
We're
trying to connect to everybody.
But, a lot of people have seen The Dark Knight.
Sure.
Think about the fairies.
Yeah.
The fairies, those people have had their chance. The prisoner... If you haven't... You've seen The Dark Knight, clearly. If you haven't... You pause this podcast right now. You go out and watch The Dark Knight. You don't need to watch Batman Begins. You just watch The Dark Knight.
I like Batman Begins.
I like Batman Begins too, but you don't need to watch The Dark Knight. But pause. I'll give it 2 seconds. I assume you've watched it. Okay. In The Dark Knight, there is...
They just watched it. Don't explain it.
Okay. So the fairy with the innocent people and the fairy with the prisoners.
Yeah, I know.
Does one fairy deserve to live more than the other?
No. Because justice is circumstantial.
But so what's the difference? What's the difference between pulling the lever on the Sinister Six and Spider-Man?
I hate the line, they've had their chance. There are people... marginalized in our society that perpetuates the sort of thing that we see and live as
well.
If we're
getting into social justice, then we cannot deal with the Sinister Six anymore.
No, that's why I put the arsonists. Five KKK members and a cop. Okay, do that.
All right, that's
some
different.
People.
That's different. That's
some
different,
people
my
think
friend.
They're right. I would.
KKK is different, my friend. That does not count. That does not count.
As the same thing?
No.
You just kill them no matter what? I'm not talking about that. I'm telling their people. I sound like an idiot right now. I would not pull the switch, let the trolley hit the KKK members.
Oh, absolutely. Me too.
Right. I'm just saying it's worth exploring that thought in your and everybody's mind what you would do.
It's
worth thinking about.
It is. Absolutely.
Whew. Less justice, more fun.
More fun. We apologize if this podcast has not been as funny or as
light,
loopy, or as light as our other podcasts have been. But, we have said this before. We talk about serious stuff on Dom and Alec, and this past semester, Dom and I have become more, not serious, but we've had some big thoughts that we wanted to share with y'all.
I think we've done that in a fair way tonight.
I'd like to think so. And even if you don't like superheroes, you don't like comic books, I would like to think that we have shared some kind of insight into the human condition through the lens of superheroes.
I feel as though we have. And Alec and I, this is one of the most fun things we get to do, and it's going to be a little while before we do this again.
Or if we do it tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to do it tomorrow.
We're going to do it tomorrow.
But this has been a nice little diversion from a lot of things. So, to our listeners, a shout out to all of you. We don't never do this, but a shout out to all of you. And I feel as though I have this notion, Alec. I've said this plenty of times, and I always plan a possible future convocation speech based off of this thought. College is a conversation, and it's three things that make that conversation worth it. Very foundationally, it's why you have that conversation. Then it's how you have that conversation. And then it is what it is that is being conversed. And I feel as though by having this podcast, we invite people. Our why is infinitely defined. It can be defined in 100 different ways. So that's an interesting thing. Why? Because we're best friends. Why? Because we want to share our insights and humor with the masses in Japan, mostly.
And Germany.
Germany's big fans. The how? Clearly, through a podcast. And the what? Our banter. And I feel like we have that stuff down, and I'm glad our listeners can join us. I'm really glad about that.
We are very, very happy to have our listeners listen in.
With that, I guess we're going to sign off, and I'm going to say Godspeed.
Well, we're signing off.
Are we?
I was ready for an ending joke.
Okay, well.
If we will.
Well, we used to do the final word.
Do you want to send it to a break and then do a
break,
final word?
Joke, break, final word.
Let's do break, joke, final word.
Sounds good.
We're going to send it to a break. Hang in there, folks.
Dom
and Alec.
Pleasantly
inarticulate.
Broadcasting live
from Alec's basement.
Victor,
New York.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to
Dom and Alec.
Pleasantly inarticulate.
All right, lead us off with this joke you speak of.
All right, so this joke exists in the Disney universe. So, not Dom.
I am pretty cool.
Yeah, I know, but not you. Cool. So, Mickey and Minnie are at a divorce court, and Mickey has just applied for a divorce with Minnie. And Mickey goes to the judge, and the judge says, "I'm sorry, Mickey, but I cannot allow you to divorce Minnie." And he says, "Why?" And the judge says, "I'm sorry, but I cannot approve a divorce based solely on the fact that you think that Minnie is silly." And Mickey says, "What? I didn't say that she was silly. I said that she was fucking goofy."
Alec, that's the best joke I've heard in a month, at least. Oh, my God.
Well, I'm glad.
Thank you.
You are very welcome.
That just rounded out the day in a great way.
Good.
That's good. Thank you. What's your final word?
My final word? You know, I think my final word is going to be community.
Okay.
Because, you know, we Dom and I went to this Little League baseball tournament earlier today, which was a benefit for a young boy who had died with cancer. And the entire community had kind of rallied behind him after the fact and, you know, kind of came together to you know, say that, you know, everyone is important and everyone, you know, deserves a life to be lived. And, you know, we're going to do the best to make sure that everyone in our community has that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And that baseball tournament kind of said, you know, we support everyone and everything.
It was a great community building experience. It was something sort of out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice. It was very nice to see.
I agree.
I hate to stray away because that was a beautiful final word.
No, that's okay. Stray
My
away.
Final word's going to be wait.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose wait because of our conversation tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It carries weight. There is a weight on all of our shoulders to protect this world that we live in and to be just and to have justice and to desire always for a better world. And that's a weight that each and every one of us should have on our shoulders. And with that, I'd also like to say Alec and I carry the wonderful, albeit light, weight of all of our listeners on our shoulders. And we hope Yes. We've done you justice. And we hope you've enjoyed this, whether you're listening to it in your office.
Or in Japan.
Or in Germany.
Or in Germany, that's right. But we hope that we have brought some sort of happiness and some sort of insight to you.
So we hope that you further some of these conversations, because tonight's been an important night.
Be always ready to, you know, ask that next question and you know, look at life critically, because that's what we are trying to do here, whether it be through the lenses of superheroes or through the lenses of those regular day heroes who are putting together a charity baseball tournament for a little boy.
Well said. So, with sincerity, signing off, Dom and Alec, pleasantly inarticulate, I'm Dom.
And I am Alec.
Dream big, work hard, and make every day a great day.